Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guys, good morning. Good morning. We had a...
Good morning, Mr. Kellerman.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson. Williams.
Williams.
An hour ago, we had Demaurus Smith, the NFLPA executive director, on the show. He had a lot to say, and asked him what the biggest issue he sees, what is it, when it comes to the NFL's hiring practices and the fact that there are now only two black head coaches out of 32 jobs.
Under what scenario would I want my rights or my kids' rights or fairness or justice to depend on odds? As we sit here right now, there is no job board for coaching in the National Football League. There is no systemic way of knowing what jobs are open. Coaches don't know what each other's salaries and benefits are. We have no ability to understand what qualifications owners use to make a decision for coaches. We don't see the evaluations. There is no transparency.
I think I don't know who it was that I asked. I don't know if it was Troy Vincent I was on with us about the union, coaches union. It was someone. No, maybe it was a coach. I think it was Mike Loxie. And I asked him about a coaches union. He said that the owners just don't want a coaches union. And this is what D. Smith is saying. There's no real transparency there. I'd like to see a coaches union, too. I really would.
Jay, I appreciate Demaurus Smith's answer, because I was asking about black ownership. Just there, Key started it, and then I followed up. There are, when there are openings at the ownership level, and not many people have billions of dollars, and even fewer, even as a percentage of the population of black people, have billions of dollars, right, that it takes to own a team. But I was really wondering about a kind of active search for black ownership and how that might have an impact on hiring. And Demaurus Smith was very clear that aside, he thinks the much more important issue is some kind of systemic change, and that's what transparency was a part of, in order to change things.
What I was able to extract from Demaurus's conversation there need to be systems put in place legally that mandate a certain amount of stuff to happen. One way, having more minority ownership, I hear what your point is, but I also think his additive point was, yes, that's one, but also systems being in place. Key, I wanted to ask you a question because I'm a little bit unsure about what this entity actually does. What does the NFL Coaches Association do? Does that act as a something similar to like a union for coaches? Do you know anything about that?
No, it's not. It's not a union. It's just an association where they all get together and they, you know, it's like a country club of coaches, basically, without it being a union. They all get together and different ideas, share different ideas and camaraderie and you know, talk about different issues in within the league. So it's not a union.
Yeah.
There's no union head. There's none of that sort of stuff. And they certainly need it both in as a whole in college as well as in the pros, because college coaches go through the same sort of similar things that professional coaches go through, whether it's, you know, a lack of hiring, diversity, just all of the issues that take place on a daily basis in the coaching community. If this is in place, you have a better opportunity for certain things. I was glad to hear Ron Rivera, who was on with us, talk about the Bill Walsh diversity initiative for coaching hires and things of that nature for younger guys, so it becomes a developmental type of situation. I'm glad that that's still alive and kicking, because that's important as well as everything else that we've been talking about. A lot of people don't even know that the Bill Walsh initiative even exists.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. This is a complicated issue, and systemic change in systems in terms of that are put in place, as DeMarre Smith was talking about.
You
lack
know, Max,
ownership. Yeah, Key.
You say it's complicated. It really is not that complicated, and I know you know that. They make it complicated.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
It's like
I know exactly.
It's like it's like anything. It's not comp. We can do the deal. Let's just do the damn deal instead of playing around, hide the ball. Let's do the deal and not play hide the ball.
But that's why the reason I say complicated is because from the point of view of when people own things, and this country, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, by definition, that's the pursuit of private interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when people own things, they don't like to be, and just generally Americans, don't like to be told what to do, especially if you pay billions of dollars for something, you don't want to be told what to do. And so even if you don't self-identify as racist, you might think, but you know what? This is the coach that I want. So, yeah, I'll check off the boxes of this Rooney rule, I guess, you know. But I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to do that as a way to get around it. And then I'm really just going to hire the guy I wanted in the first place.
Yeah, it'd be interesting for me to see. And I understand what D was saying when I posed a question to him about the NFL owners recruiting a minority. Not a minority owner, because we have one in Shot Khan, but a black owner to inherit or buy the Denver Broncos at the majority stake, controlling interest stake. It'd be interesting to see if, in fact, we have some candidates out there that are going to put in bids to purchase that team. And if that was to happen, how things would change in an ownership structure of the 32 clubs and how they go about doing business, it would be very interesting to see.
Key, there are two candidates, actually. You know I'm all over this. I love this kind of stuff.
I'm over it, too,
I know. Byron Allen, who was entertainer, billionaire now. And then, you know,
USC Trojan, in case you want to know.
There you go. And then you have Robert F. Smith, too, who's been involved in finances for a while. Two of these guys are in the process for the bid.
I want to mention, because DeMarre Smith said, like, even if there were up to, say, six black owners, right? But, you know, when Jackie Robinson broke into Major League Baseball, people like to say that the league is integrated. No, there was one black dude in the league, one. And then there were two or a handful, and it still really wasn't integrated. So black ownership, to get a black owner is important, not because, okay, now it's integrated at the ownership level, but because it would be a first step toward greater representation at the ownership level.
Absolutely.
But,
and they would be more comfortable and get comfortable because they would have to deal with him or her every single day.
But
now they would know, you don't have to worry. We're okay.
Yeah. But DeMarre Smith addressed minority ownership, and this is what he had to say.
I think the league should entertain anyone who is qualified to own a team. And if that means reaching out to people of color and employing them or at least looking at them as potential owners, I think that's great. I think the only thing that I would caution us about is ever believing that magically, that just because you have one or two or three, or I would dare say six owners of color, we shouldn't magically believe that we will have arrived at a racial nirvana.
So, Key, you know, I was talking to Mark Cuban about this the other day on my pod, The Limits by NPR, by the way, since you guys say I never plug, I just plugged it. There you go. And I was asking him about...
Got some heavy hitters on that
pod. I was asking Mark about, like, you know, so, like, what can leagues do to get more minorities opportunities to own teams? And he was like, you know, Jay, the problem is systemically in this country, we have a lot of minorities who aren't as liquid as they would need to be in order to put down, you know, large bulk amounts for some of the evaluations of these teams. And I know that the NFL is, you know, a good old boys league, as they say, as it relates to owners, right? But why won't they allow more groups to be put together in order to own teams, understanding the history of systemic racism in this country, but allowing more minorities to participate in those ownership opportunities?
Well, Jay, it's really all in deal structure, baby, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned groups. There are groups in the National Football League. Every single owner does not own the team outright. Okay, the Las Vegas Raiders and Al Davis, it was a partnership that still remains. The partners over time dwindled down. Jerry Jones did not buy the Dallas Cowboys outright. Jerry Jones had partners in the beginning, and eventually he bought them out. The Rooney family in Pittsburgh has partners that own minority stakes within the team. One of the biggest issues that come up when it's time for teams to be sold is people will put groups together. And as I said to you before, it's all about the structure of the deal. If your deal looks one way and that other person's deal looks another, chances are you're going to take the better deal as an owner selling a team. If I can close that escrow in 60 days and write that $4 billion check, I can do it and we'll figure out the rest later, opposed to, hey, let me get Jay and Max and then we're going to get Evan and I'm going to find out if Yates got a little bit. And
we're going to get his, financing. Get his
I need it clean.
Liquid, yeah.
I need to go straight to Mr. Kellerman and he got the check and he's going to write it and that's the deal, opposed to Keyshawn and Jay Will talking to Oprah about what if she wants to, and then Puffy comes in with a couple hundred, and they're like, nah.
But you know what, Key? Since we're on the subject, why are there, even as a percentage of the population, there's less wealth among black people than white people? We know why. It has nothing. It's because of the history of the country. This is one of the arguments for affirmative action, right?
It is true.
But so my point is this: if the NFL, as a multi-pronged approach, right? That's why when I say it's complicated, and you're like, actually, just do the right thing. Right? You're right on that level. But since we see that history says a lot of times that will not happen. So one of the approaches is what DeMaurice Smith was talking about, like put systems in place. But I believe another approach could be the NFL actively seeking black ownership when these teams become available.
I use the word recruit.
Yeah, right. But even if it means, hey, you know what? Normally we don't appreciate the group as much as we do an individual who can come up with the bulk of the money to – and I understand, I'm not saying, like, you got to go crazy and this deal is half as good as that deal. But try to give it a little extra consideration.
But then again, Max, right, we're going up a slippery slope. Because you are not going to tell me who to sell my team to.
That's what I mean. People don't like be told what to do.
You're not going to say to me that Jay's deal is not better than the other guy's deal when I'm looking at Jay's deal and I can close Jay's deal in a week. And the other guy, I got to wait for this guy to sign off and another.
You're talking about billions of dollars.
Yeah, now you're asking me to lose money and sitting tight. No, man, we're not doing that. And that's the way that they think.
Yep.
You're not going to tell me who to sell my team to.
You can give little incentives, though. Like, I hear you. You can't dictate it, but you can try to incentivize. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get back to the Super Bowl.
Over or under?
Okay, Joe Fortenbaugh is here to play a little over-under for Sunday's game. Joe, where are you? Here?
I'm here, gentlemen. How you doing? And by the way, I can't think of a better ownership group in the NFL than you three. No problems whatsoever with that management triumvirate.
Put us in the Super Bowl already.
All right, Joe. No, the problem is Jay and I'd be there like, hey, Key, we got to get this quarterback. No, who we have is fine. He's steady and sound.
Trying to save my money.
Joe, the longest pass completion, the over-under is 38.5 yards.
I'm playing the over. Nobody in the NFL completed more passes of 40 or more yards this season than Matthew Stafford. Number two on that list. Hey, look at this. Joe Burrow with 15. I think the Rams rushing attack is going to set up the play action for a few big shots down the field. This is an over bet for me.
Cam Akers rushing yards over or under 64.5.
This is another over bet. Akers ran for 45 yards in the first half against the Niners, but he suffered a shoulder injury, so he was limited, and the Rams were trailing late, so they had to throw the football. This number is suppressed, in my opinion, because Akers hasn't topped it in any of his three playoff games, but he was, like I said, running well against San Francisco. The Bengals ranked 21st in opponent yards per carry this season. They gave up 5.8 yards per carry against the Chiefs. If you're Sean McVay, you have to have seen that on tape and realize if you run the ball early, you can take some of the pressure off of Stafford and set up the play action later in the game.
Yeah, I think that I would take the under in this situation because he hasn't really popped the way that we thought he would coming back off injury. He's given them a little bit of a burst, but the 64.5 is plenty for what they want to do in the play action pass game. Remember, it's about the attempts, not the yardage. Mm.
So, Joe, you said over, huh? You would take the over.
Over on Akers, yes, that's me.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards taking the over, too.
Just rushing yards. Not total yards from scrimmage, just rushing
yards. Yeah, rushing yards. Yeah. I'm staying with the under based on what they want to do for offensive philosophy.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. Not you, Jay, huh?
No, I'm going to roll Joe on this one.
Well, rolling with Joe is usually a good bet.
Yes, it usually works out with money in your piggy bank.
Speaking of rolling with Joe, Joe Burrow, over or under? Talking about Joe Burrow, over or under 11.5 rushing yards.
This is going to be an under bet for me. Burrow's topped this number in only 3 of 19 games this season. And with that offensive line against the Rams' pass rush and speed at linebacker, with Von Miller coming on the outside as well, I don't think Burrow gets there. He's got the tools to get there. I just think for this prop, I'm going to play the under on the 11.5 rushing yards.
I'm going to go over in this situation, I think, the 11.5, because I don't believe that they will get to Joe Burrow nearly as much as people think. I think the offensive line will shore up. They'll max protect. They'll keep people in to chip Von Miller, double team Aaron Donald, chip Floyd, bring Mixon out. Just a nice little elbow in the side ribs is all it takes. He will get over 11 yards rushing because he will have to use his feet in this particular game if they want to win.
I'll go under. If the Rams defense kept Kyler Murray to 6 yards rushing, I will go under for Joe Burrow.
I might go over too because of what Key said. Part of what Key said, like, and I know like gap discipline and all that stuff, or, you know, Jeff Saturday was talking on this just in, terrific new show, handsome host on ESPN 2 p.m. Eastern.
That's how you do a plug.
But he was talking about, Key, how you're going to have to, like, have discipline rush coming off the edge, rushing the quarterback, because you don't want Joe Burrow to get outside, right?
That's,
and I'm sure
dangerous.
Von Miller will have that, but there will be times, I feel like, where they flush Joe Burrow, and he's going to pick up some yards with his legs. So I like him to go over 11.5 yards. Over, under rushing yards, Joe Mixon is 62.5. Joe Fortenbaugh?
Love Joe Mixon. Fantastic running back, but I play the under here. Two key reasons. Number one, the matchup of the Cincinnati O-line against the Los Angeles Rams defensive line. I think that's problematic. And number two, I think the way this game plays out, Cincinnati finds themselves trailing in the second half, which means they need to turn to the passing game. So the rushing attempts could be limited here for Mixon, under 62.5 rushing yards.
I'm going to go over here. I think it's over 62.
Are you just going to go the opposite on every single pick?
Pretty much.
Because that's what it feels like today.
That's what he's doing.
No, I think it's over based on the fact that they, too, have to slow the rush down. And the only way you slow the rush down is by running the football. We know that the Rams are going to pin their ears back and go get Joe Burrow. But this is a great antidote to what they want to do. Give the ball to Mixon. He's going to chew up the clock. You want the clock to continue to roll. You don't want to get into a passing match with the Rams in this situation. You use Joe Mixon. He's over 62.5.
Yeah, I'll say he'll be under just considering how good that defensive line is. And I don't know if they're going to allow him to break through as much. I think it's going to heavily rely upon Joe Burrow to do his thing.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on this one also. You got to stop Joe Mixon. Like, that might actually be the key with all the stuff we're talking. If they get the running game going, it's going to be a problem. So I think there'll be an emphasis there. Receiving yards. Ready for this one? Joe Fortenbaugh is the last one. Cooper Kupp, over or under 105.5 receiving yards.
This is strictly going to be a contrarian play for me. I'm going to go under on Cooper Kupp. No disrespect to him. He's fantastic. But I think everyone in the world is going to want to play his over. I think the number's inflated as a result. I think there's an opportunity to go the other way. Beckham's the guy I'd be looking for on the over. It's only sitting around 63.5. That's what I'd want to play for an over prop on a Rams wide receiver.
Boom.
When it comes to Kupp, I would play the under. But tentatively, wouldn't be a huge bet.
I'm going to go, and I'm just going to do the total opposite again, Joe. I'm going to go over on all three of these guys listed on this list just for the simple fact that Cooper Kupp is going to get the targets. Targets mean yards. They're not going to take the ball out of Cooper Kupp's hands. 1,900 yards in a regular season. We obviously saw what he did, he's been doing in the postseason. They're not going to change what they do. He'll get the opportunities. OBJ will just get more opportunities than he had in the past, as well as Cam Akers.
If Cooper Kupp gets over 100 yards, then Zach Taylor's game plan is pretty much shut down, right? I mean, you allow him to start get going, opens up the run game, opens up other opportunities as well, and for OBJ. So I would say under. I would go with the contrarian.
Who's going to cover Cooper Kupp for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Oh, I like Odell on the over. I think Odell's about to have a real nice game. But I got to say something about Cooper Kupp, and I'm going to take the over on him too. What really made him have – what makes him a great receiver, he's a great receiver. What makes him that way is even when it's a point of emphasis defensively to stop him, he finds a way to get open. He finds a way to make plays. And I'm going to say he finds a way to make plays. 105.5 is a high number, but I'm still going to – 105.5.
Max. You got to think about who you're talking about, and you got to think about what they do. They give it to him.
They give it to him, and he goes and gets it. I'm going to say the over. I agree, the over. Time for house money. Evan, where are we at?
Yeah, so a couple weeks since we've done this. Key in the championship round bet most of his money on the Rams to cover and the Chiefs to cover. Neither of those things happened. He's down 55 cents.
Jeez.
Jay, you're going to need about a 10,000 leg parlay.
Go down to the 50 cent store, Key.
Jay won one bet, lost one, so he lost 99 cents. He's down to 22.91. Max lost both of his bets. He's down to 19.25.
I'm a rich guy coming around here
and,
with 19 bucks.
Joe still in the lead. Remember, you guys all started in different spots. Joe started with the most money because he won the regular season. Joe went 2-2 in his bets, lost $1.65. So to keep things going, Key, what's your bet with your 55 cents here to start things off?
I'm gonna drop my 55 cents, them two quarters and a nickel on the Rams.
All of it
cover. Yeah, all of it.
You better take a bet. What's the longest odds, Key? You got to find a bet with 100-1 odds and put it on that.
By the way, there's a house minimum. That 55 cents ain't gonna play.
It does not cover.
Oh,
no,
yes, it does.
Not.
Yes,
right.
It does. Just to cover, what you're going to wind up with? You're going to wind up with the $1.05.
We'll round up. We'll give him $1.
Got,
$1. Hey, and I can save it till next time.
Yeah, that's right.
Max? You,
I'm up?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, because I have more money than you.
I'm going to go. What are the odds on Von Miller and sack totals? That's what I want to know, but I don't have it in front of me. So, therefore, I will go. I'm going to take Joe Burrow as Super Bowl MVP.
How much?
And I will put my whole thing on it, obviously. Put every cent I got.
All right. Woo. Yeah. I'll just bet everything for the Rams to cover.
Woo.
There you go.
Okay, everyone's
getting
interested.
Joe, you got to play strong. Joe, I don't want to hear these little $4 bets. You're playing to win.
No, I'm not. I'm coming in hot. I'm putting it all on one bet. I'm going to do that. I all season long, it's been about money management, bankroll management. We're at the final week of the season, so let's go loose. What I'm going to do for the people is I'm going to give you three I really like, but that's not going to be on the total. I'll give you the one at the end that I'm putting everything on. Number one, the Rams are down to 3.5. I would play the Rams in this game. I think the Rams defense is going to be the difference in the game. It's the best defense Cincinnati has faced all season long. And that includes the playoffs and the regular season, not just the playoffs. All right. This team is number 5 in Football Outsiders DVOA. Anytime Cincinnati stepped inside the top 10, they've struggled. San Francisco, they lost and failed to cover. Green Bay, they've lost and failed to cover. So I do like the Rams. I like the Rams as a prop to have the longer time of possession. They've had the ball for 34 or more minutes in every playoff game. I think they're going to be able to run in this game. I think they're going to be playing with the lead, so they'll be grinding the clock late. That's a prop I would play. And Stafford, longest completion, over 39.5 yards, because I think the running game is going to set up the play action. Those are three I like. The entire bankroll on one prop, Matthew Stafford, over 2.5 rushing attempts. I just need 3 rushing attempts. Stafford is a different player in the playoffs. During the regular season, he ran the ball 1.8 times per game. In the playoffs, he's carried it 4 or more times in every game. Dude is scrambling. He knows his legacy's on the line. It's all everyone's been talking about since the playoffs started. He's making plays. So I think we're going to get at least 1 or 2 scrambles in this game. Quarterback sneaks are in play. And I do think the Rams are going to win this game. So there's the opportunity for him to be kneeling the ball out late. Kneel downs count as rushing attempts. Stafford, the entire bankroll, over 2.5 rushing attempts.
an MVP who helped the Rams to their last Super Bowl title. Thank you, Joe, by the way.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The second I was traded here and we got Von Miller, we get Odell, we get these unbelievable players. You know, the pressure for our team has been there all season from the outside. But from us, that stuff hasn't really bothered us, hasn't really crept in, you know, into our thought process at all. We just go out there and attack each day.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Say play ESPN. Boom, right there on your smart speakers. Download the podcast. Or anywhere there's communication, anywhere in the universe, you can hear Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And which ESPN are we on right now, Evan? We're on one of the ESPN
News.
We're on ESPN News right now. You're walking through the airport.
This just in at 2 p.m. on ESPN2 today due to the NBA trade deadline. Did they not tell you that?
I'm on ESPN2 today.
Yes.
Well, now
trade deadline special, 1 to 4 on ESPN.
Oh, there are plenty of ESPNs to go around. Don't worry about it. I'll be on one of them.
We're creating a new one, ESPN8.
Hey, that's right. Meantime, we're about to talk to one of the all-time greats, Key. Marshall Faulk with us now. What's going on, champ?
What's going on? What's going on, fellas?
What's happening, Rush?
One of the very greatest who ever
hey,
did
man.
It.
You know, we got Super Bowl in L.A. The action's here. It's indicative. The Rams went out. They went and picked up some stars. And now the stars have performed, and now we get to see the stars in front of the stars of Hollywood in the Super Bowl. It's like this movie script type stuff, right?
Absolutely. What kind of similarities do you see between this year's Rams team and your 99 team that won the Super Bowl? Is there any real similarities?
I'm going to say the impact and – the difference, I think, when I got traded to the Rams, how the guys looked at what the team was trying to do. Those types of moves, they send messages. And I remember when they brought me in and how the guys was like, okay, we heard about this dude. We know he could play. But they want to see you not in game. They want to see the person. They want to see the work. They want to see the body of what happened to make you who you are. And I think a lot of that happened with Stafford. It's like, you knew he could throw the ball. You knew he could do all of this. But is he capable of leading? And when you first got in, the excitement was there. We saw it early in the season, Key. And then, you know, similar. Like, they hit a little wall. It was like, oh, man, he's throwing pick sixes. But the Stafford that we've seen in the playoffs, minus the one interception against San Francisco, and maybe the bad throw that with the interception got dropped, man, he has been as sharp as I've ever seen him play. And I'm just going to put it out there. I tell the truth. I was questioning him. I was like, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know if it was Stafford or if it was Detroit. And now with the right pieces around him, It's impressive to see this young man display his talent on the stages that he has. I'm looking forward to watching him in the Super Bowl. Can't wait.
your legacy is already etched in stone, Hall of Fame, one of the top three or four Ram players of all times. But now you got two legacies that's on the line in Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. Sean McVay, second Super Bowl appearance. Matthew Stafford, first. Neither have won a Super Bowl before. Which one of these two, in your opinion, Marshall, has the most pressure on their legacy in this game?
I think they're connected. I don't think one gets it more than the other. I feel like there was a vouching moment when Matthew Stafford came in. You remember the meeting in Cabo, the relationship instantly, the closeness in age. I feel like, you know, this is like the Titanic. If this thing going down, both of them going down. And if this thing, if this thing is going to sail and become what it is, both of them going to get the praise. I just don't think you can separate the two of them. You know, I look at it the way, you know, this relationship is, you know, it's Brady and Belichick. You know, you think about Tomlin and Ben and right now Mahomes and Reed, like those relationships, they're connected. And I don't know if you can separate them. I mean, they're connected by the hip.
Your old coach Dick Vermeil told us, talking to Marshall Faulk, the great Marshall Faulk, here on Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, ESPN Radio. Dick Vermeil was on here the day before yesterday. Marshall told us this week, that Joe Burrow, you know how we always talk about, he's got that thing, he's a winner, he's all this. Sometimes we kind of overlook the tangibles while we're looking at the intangibles. He told us that Joe Burrow was the most accurate quarterback he's ever seen. Dick Vermeil said this coming out of college. What have you seen out of Burrow in his second season?
I think his accuracy, and not just his accuracy, and Key, you know this too, and I'm not saying you don't know it, Max, because you've watched the game, I respect your acumen, but I'm talking to Key because he played the position of receiver. How many friendly balls he throw and make it easy for his guys to catch. Not just 50-50 balls, but in the moment, where he'll put, where he will put the ball to Higgins, where he'll put the ball to Chase, and make it, it's a friendly ball. I'm like, man, this kid at this age, he's throwing people open. You don't say that about second-year guys. And let's be honest, he's not really a second-year guy because he didn't play all his first year. It's just impressive what he's able to do. And without a doubt, it's accuracy. If you go back, think about this. If you go back to the Green Bay game against San Francisco, Aaron Rodgers lost his ability to be accurate in that game. And that's something, it was Aaron Rodgers, what? And he was kind of baffled himself. He was like, did I throw that ball? But it happened. It can happen to anyone. It happened to Mahomes. He lost his ability to be accurate. And in those moments, I've seen Joe. Listen, I keep saying this about him, Keith. He's letting everybody know that he's more like Joe Montana. He's more like Joe Namath. He's not just an average Joe at quarterback.
The great Marshall Faulk. And don't worry, Marshall, you never insult me by talking to Key. When a baller's talking to a baller, I'm just sitting back and listening. I'm soaking it up.
No, Max, I'm saying that because I've listened to you talk about football and even basketball, and I know boxing's your thing, but I respect what you have to say because, you know, like, you speak your mind, and although you didn't play the sport, I appreciate that you watch with a keen eye and an understanding of trying to understand the mind of what we're really going through and what we're really dealing with, and not just the surface fan stuff.
Mama, so I made it. That. Hear what Marshall Faulk just told me? That's right. I'm on top of the world. Thank
why did you,
you
do this,
appreciate
Rush?
It.
Why no, did you
no,
do
no,
that?
No, I appreciate it. That's a great compliment, Key, for me. This is a big day for me. Thank you, Marshall. Appreciate it. Tell us what you're doing with us today.
Yeah, man, I'm just letting people know you have all options out there. in the big game, it's all about the juice. We understand points. We understand over and under. Maximum bet is where you place those bets and where you go out and you make things happen. If you want all the action, if you want anything about it, why not maximum bet?
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Marshall Faulk, thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Right on, guys. Anytime, man. Love what you guys are doing. Continue doing it.
Appreciate it. Hey, Max.
Yes.
Right on. I know you know this.
Yeah.
But you know how good he was?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
It was ridiculous. I played against him a bunch, so, you know, I saw it. I was like, ooh.
Ooh. Like, it never got better than that. You say whatever you want. You can't really play it better than that.
He was one of the first running backs to detach from the formation and play receiver and give it to you.
Right. Actually line him up. Yeah. Yep. NBA trade deadline is today. So for Daryl Morey, is it worth it to go all in? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
NBA trade deadline is in just over 5 hours. And here's the latest from Woj on the Nets and James Harden. Although Brooklyn Nets guard James Harden wants a trade, according to Woj, to the Philadelphia 76ers, he has resisted making that formal request out of fear of the public backlash that would come with asking out of a second franchise in consecutive seasons. Harden is hopeful that 76ers president of basketball, Daryl Morey, secures a trade for him prior to today's 3 p.m. deadline.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
But Daryl Morey and Nets general manager Sean Marks have yet to become engaged in serious dialogue on a deal, sources tell Woj. So, here's the question. Would it be worth it for Daryl Morey to go all in now? And for the purposes of this conversation, or wait for a sign-and-trade, let's say, in the offseason. Mm-hmm. For the purposes in this conversation, let's say, since they're going to want more than Ben Simmons, without talking Seth Curry or certainly Thybulle.
Matisse Thybulle and Seth Curry.
But what I'm saying is, let's say at least it's a Tyrese Maxey premium.
No, not enough.
Not enough to get the deal done.
No.
Would at least, so, but my question is, Jay, is
you
it worth
need
it,
this now, I do not.
Is it worth it for the Nets to give up at least Tyrese Maxey for the chance to win this year with Harden? Or if it's Maxey, is that enough value that you don't do the deal now, wait till the offseason and make a run next year?
I would be shocked if the deal just included Tyrese Maxey and Ben Simmons for James Harden. You have to understand the position that the Nets are in right now. I get that James Harden doesn't want to be here. I understand that. I also have one of the greatest players to ever play this game in Kevin Durant, in which I can tell KD, hey, listen, we will treat him like Kawhi Leonard. This is your last run here. We're willing to give you, but let's try to win this. Now, if you want to continue to sabotage your own reputation by doing what you did to Houston the rest of the year, then we'll deal with that. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt us too. But unless I can get true value for James Harden right now, which is not just Tyrese Maxey, you're going to include a Seth Curry. You're probably going to ask for Matisse Thybulle. You're going to ask for something because you understand.
I'll wait you out, Jay.
That's if you're Daryl Morey,
Yeah, I'm gonna wait. That's, you know why I'm gonna wait.
Exactly.
You know
but that's why.
That's
Key,
what I'm saying.
So what I'm saying, Key, is this: you know the old expression, "If it wasn't for the last minute, nothing would get done." At the 11th hour, in the last minute, Key, if I'm Sean Marks and Harden makes it clear to me, yeah, you know, we'll make a run this year, and I think I'm not going to get his best effort. Or right now, I could get Ben Simmons and at least Tyrese Maxey, or I could wait till the offseason and just get Ben Simmons. I might be, and let's say a first rounder or a second rounder, I might be like, let me get the premium now, even if it's not Thibault in addition. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just wait. But if I'm Philadelphia, I'm going to wait him out and just say I'll get you in the offseason and sign a trade deal. Uh-huh. And on top of that, if I'm Philadelphia, you don't even know if you're going to have all three of them on the court at one time because you got a guy in Kyrie that is all over the place. So you think James Harden is the one that's going to be the issue for you? How about one of your main players can't play when you need him to play because he's missing because of the vaccination? So I'm just sitting wait. And I'm betting y'all right now anyway. See, because of that.
That is the leverage Philly has, Jay. Like, I know what you're saying, because I probably would wait till the
I
would wait till the offseason, too,
because
I would say I'm going to try and win a chip with these guys right now.
Uh-huh.
But there is the danger if you're Brooklyn, if you evaluate at the 11th hour, you go, this isn't going to work. And I could get additional stuff, even if it's not Thibault and Seth Curry. But the reason I focus in on Maxey is Maxey in a second round or something like that. That's realistic. That could probably get done quickly. I would think, let me grab that right now.
That doesn't help you win this year.
Not the Nets. But it could help the Sixers win this year.
It could help the Sixers win this year. You're strengthening somebody in your division.
But the Nets might think, we ain't going to win this year anyway.
That's what I'm saying.
But, I mean, look, these things, I don't know. These things could change. I mean, we're seeing a lot of movement with mask mandates, and I don't know where we are with vaccine mandates.
When if Kyrie,
the last 30 games, can play the full rest of the season?
It's a problem.
Mandate's going to change in the next 6 hours? Because if they
change, I do want to pose this, though.
We better rush that legislation through.
We act like James Harden just go to Philly, all of a sudden they're going to be that team. Like, okay, like there's two combustible attitudes there in that team, too, and Joel Embiid and James Harden. Is that just going to work? That's a legit question. Is that just going to work? I don't know. Like, I wonder how Joel Embiid would be if James is dancing with the ball for, you know, 20 seconds of the 24-second shot clock. It does become interesting what fits all.
All I know is I was listening to this great radio show, KJM, in the morning on ESPN. I heard Jay Will, former two-time
player of the
year.
Handsome guy in the middle of the four box.
That's right. I heard him say it would be the greatest pick-and-roll combination ever, replacing Stockton to Malone.
Has a chance to be.
Probably a little dice on that one. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We'll be back tomorrow. Greeny coming up right now.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.